You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.
Hello, and welcome to Spycast from the secret files of the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. I'm Peter Ernest, the executive director of the museum. I served for some 36 years in the Central Intelligence Agency, largely as what is called an operations officer or a case officer. Every month, we'll be bringing you interesting talks with visitors, with authors, with others who have something to do with the world of intelligence and espionage. I'm delighted to say today that our guest is Robert De Niro, who was here for the most incredible inauguration we've seen in this town in many, many years. So I'm delighted you took the time to visit with us. Welcome, Bob. We're pleased to have you.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Okay. Let me throw a question that's always been on my mind. What on earth got you interested in the world of spies and espionage and intelligence? What got you interested in that world?
Well, it's fascinating. As a kid growing up in the Cold War, you were asking me about did I do those that we had those drills where you'd get under the desk
for the atomic bomb,
the atomic bomb
drills,
and all that, and so just the whole that period. Anybody who's grown up during that period and lived through the Cold War would, there's something fascinating. You can't help but be fascinated by it, and the so doing anything I could do as far as a film would be great if I could find the right story and so on. It's all great stuff. The museum has got great stuff in it. It's just done very well.
Today was packed, so they're all here for the inauguration.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. You're drawn into the Cold War, but so much of what comes out in your films is about relationships and motivations and people doing things they might not normally do,
right.
Which is very, very true of espionage.
Yeah.
And you bring those things out very well. So it's more than just the Cold War and sort of guns and proxy wars. I mean, there's something deeper there that I think must have interested you.
Well, I feel that with like anything, relationships, as you say, are very are the whole thing. I guess a handler of a person who is giving information. About their country or whatever, there's a psychological. I always have heard that the handler is somebody who they have to have a very special. It's almost like I compared to an analyst, a psychoanalyst, or somebody who's you have to have a very special relationship. The person has to puts their life in the handler's hands the way I would, and they have to feel. So that person has to have a real ability to. Make the person who's doing this feel very comfortable and willing to take the chance to do what they're doing. So that kind of stuff. And then, say, for the Good Shepherd, I had, I think there's a kind of, I was trying to do with the relationship between the Matt Damon character and the Russian KGB character was to have like a kind of a they were closer to each other than because of their profession and they had that respect for each other, so in spite of their being adversaries they had us their brothers under the skin, if you will, and so there's a kind of, as in life people make deals, you give me this, I'll give you that, even though we're adversaries. And I was trying to get some of that across in the movie, especially in the toward the end, in the kind of tacit, if you will, agreement to get rid of the prospective daughter-in-law of Matt Damon's son's about to be bride. It's the Russian was saying, "Well, I'll do it for you. It's a problem," but very subtly saying that. And I thought that kind of stuff is interesting. Again, relationships and so on.
To go back, I want to get to your background a little bit, but just to go back to that, getting rid of the daughter, really sort of put the American side, if you will, in sort of a sinister light to take a step like that.
I would say, yeah. I mean, it's tricky stuff, I would say. I mean, I met a guy who was in the CIA, and he told me this was many years ago, and he said, you know, you have all the intentions of a Boy Scout, yet at the same time you have to do things that are underhanded, just by virtue of what it is. So, and I said, yeah, it's true, I guess.
You've met a number of people, some of my colleagues from CIA, and I'm just wondering what parallels you find between people who act in that world as spies, as espionage agents, and role playing, acting, what you did for a living, and mm-hmm. then directing others to do this whole world of role playing and putting on another face.
I think there's probably again. People act in life all the time, but when you're acting, say if you're undercover, if this is answering your question, you're not who you say you are. You really have to convince everybody that you are doing what you are supposed to be doing on the surface, because if not, you could lose your life. That simple. So it forces you to be real and to make other people believe you. And I think, so that's like interesting to say the least. I think in life people also act or say things they don't mean sometimes, and they are very real about it too. Because it's for real, though you're not paying with your life. But being a spy, you would pay with your life, or a long jail sentence, I suppose, in the other country. So that there's a similarity of sorts in all of that. I don't know if I'm answering your question.
Oh really, yeah, you are. It's fascinating. I know you're striving for authenticity. I had friends who saw, and I saw also, Meet the Parents, which I think was a film you had a lot of fun with.
Yeah.
We were told that that was by people who do the polygraph, do the lie detector. That was one of the most authentically staged polygraphs they'd ever seen. So you had some expert advice for that.
We had a guy who I forget who he was, but he had done a lot of work, I think, in Washington and New York. Our technical advisor, and I got the idea from a friend of mine in the CIA it was something he told me, how he and his wife were polygraphed and so on, and just the way they had said it, it just made an impression on me. So when we were talking about doing Meet the Parents, about my character, I thought, well, that might be an interesting thing to put in the story of my character doing the polygraph thing.
So. Very heavy-handed. So. Do you feel at all, I mean, you've met so many of us in the field. Do you feel that there is that sinister side to us? In other words, you know, the author, John Le Carré, coming into the spy, came in from the cold, sort of depicts us as, hey, you're all immoral. There's no difference.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a professional, I always felt there was a difference, that even with this stuff about waterboarding and stuff that's coming out now, I always felt that there were certain values in American intelligence that were different.
I um, I don't think the people that I know are not sinister at all. I mean, they're like very smart, dedicated people. I'm very impressed with how intelligent they are, no pun intended, but
okay.
Really,
because
I didn't, before that, I didn't know what people in intelligence were like, and as I got to know them and became friendly with them, I saw that it's very interesting, charming and very smart.
Of course, we're paid to be charming.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, but it's, you know, it's, and people feel that they're doing the right thing. It's different, you know, you're doing the right thing. But there is that sinister, what I was doing was trying not to, in the movie, make people sinister, but just as human as people really are. And justify their jobs and their positions because they believe in them.
Sure.
You know, and then that's it.
Yeah. Now, I think you told me the last time that we met you were embarked on part two. In other words,
yes, I'm trying to do a second installment. If
yeah,
you will.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it'll be that, but I'm thinking of the from the fall of the wall, 61. I mean, the going up of the wall and the Bay of Pigs, 61, to the going down of the wall, I guess, is it 89?
89, yeah.
Yeah, so that would be, and then maybe a third installment from the wall going down to the present.
Well, then they take us through terrorism and
cooperation
and all the rest of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
what's your perspective on sort of, and I know you follow it from the media, but you also know a lot of people in intelligence.
Yeah.
About today's world, what's going on today with intelligence, the challenges?
Well, we have a kind of a transition.
Yep.
My perception with Obama and everything and even who he picked, Panetta, I guess that's happening or not, I'm not sure.
He's the nominee.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's going through or what, but I think that's interesting. I think that's a very interesting way to go. Who knows, really? Because I was reading also some stuff in the paper, the New York Times, I think, about some people felt that he didn't have enough experience, or obviously he doesn't, but it's another way of going. I think, and I'm curious to see how that plays out, because I imagine professionals say, well, he doesn't have the experience, he doesn't know. What is that going to do for us? He has to have on-the-ground experience. He has to be somebody who's been through it. And that totally makes sense. So at the same time, it might do something that even at this point nobody has thought of, and that actually might work better. Who knows?
Yeah. Well,
that's all I know. I can't say until we see what happens.
Well, a lot of the colleagues I talk to, he's a man who's greatly respected.
Exactly.
And liked.
Hill.
He understands the Hill. He's been a chief of staff in the White House.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to have been a case officer like me to run the agency.
So
you need somebody who's capable of leadership.
Exactly.
And somebody
exactly.
that the president trusts.
Exactly.
And clearly Obama has great trust in him.
Exactly.
So I think...
We hope for the best. It sounds, you know...
Yeah. Let me ask you one more if I can. You're a person who follows the news. You're very interested. You read the papers. You know what's going on. In the years of the Cold War, more and more is learned about intelligence, how it worked, the history of it, some of the things we've succeeded at, some of the things we didn't do very good at.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a picture as an American that this agency and the intelligence community is representative of us as a country, that what you understand about it, warts and all, is the proper thing for us to have as a country from your perspective as a citizen?
As the intelligence that the U.S. has.
What you know about it,
what I know about
all that you've read and learned. And you've read and learned more than most people.
Yeah, I mean, I think intelligence is a kind of... you can't stop people from thinking and having opinions. And that's kind of to gossip that you read in the tabloids or what. You can't stop them. So it's there. Intelligence is a way of gathering information in a more, I wouldn't say formal way, but in terms of for a more serious things like national security and for the security of whatever country that has their intelligence apparatus. So I think it's there, will be there. I don't know how you can change it. It's just that you do it in the right way, the proper way that reflects the country, in this case our country. And I know there's been a lot of negative stuff about the intelligence in the U.S., but I think that that's always happens in a way. That the other side of it is it's a necessity. And I think that Obama is trying to make it something, do it in a very honorable way. Some people might disagree with that, but I think it can be done. And I know that I'm sure that people in the intelligence community say, well, they said this about us, they said that. Nobody says about the things that we did do because you can't talk about them. So there's the other side of it. It's complex. So I don't really, you know, you read, no matter where what you read, it doesn't mean that's what it is. And there's another side to the story. So it's a complicated issue.
Last question. I met your lovely children today going through the museum. Suppose one of them expressed an interest maybe in going into intelligence. What would your best advice be?
I'm not sure. I if they were serious about it, I would ask my friends in intelligence what they think or what advice or blah, blah. And I'm sure some of them would say, don't go there. Like I would say as an actor, you don't want to be an actor. And others would just say, look, if you're real serious about it, I'll tell you this is what you do. So,
yeah, but you've had a wonderful career as an actor, and it led to your being a director and a producer. I can see one of your kids wanting to be an actor. And
could be, we'll see.
And you wouldn't be able to discourage him because look at your career.
Yeah. No, I couldn't. I just want them, as we all, you want your kids to be happy.
Yeah. Well, Bob, thank you so much for being with us today. It was great to have you here. I'm so delighted you and your family came for the inauguration. What a wonderful experience for your children.
Thank you.
And for you. Thanks again. Well, we look forward to continuing this dialogue with you. And we'd like to know if you have any comments or questions on today's SpyCast. You can get in touch with us through email at spycast@spymuseum.org. That's spycast@spymuseum.org.